1.7 to go in a tie game.
I guess he can't run it.
Taphorn heaves it down the floor.
Got it.
Part of the catch. Puts it up.
Yes!
Good! Wildcats win! Wildcats win! Derek Clayton at the buzzer for the win! And the Wildcats have beat Michigan 67-65.
Are we going to get trampled?
They're all in a pile right in front of us. Unbelievable.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN and on demand at WGNradio.com.
Full goosebumps. What a night. What was it, Wednesday night? I don't care. Whatever night it was fantastic. That was Dave Ennett, of course, WGN voice of the Cats, our sports director on the call at Welsh Ryan Arena, the second to final game at Welsh Ryan Arena. Good afternoon. It's The Beat. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynewitz. Harry, how are you?
I am purple and happy.
What an accomplishment for Northwestern. And it's really kind of just fun that they're this national story and Jim Nance and Grant Hill and CBS is going to be here tomorrow. Of course, you still want to be listening to 720 WGN for your game and listening to Dave Ennett, who was on the call, of course, on Wednesday night. Now, joining The Beat at the start of the show, because Dave is a very popular guy right now. And I guess a host of Wildcats are like at his house right now just celebrating with him. Dave, good afternoon, Dave. Look
How
at
you. Doing, guys?
We are great. I'm sitting behind Dave and Joey, for the games this year, and it's been a ton of fun. And 4 minutes to go against Michigan, I'm biting my hand and trying to just handle the stress. And Dave, you were just cool as a cucumber, man, the whole way through. And then the moment happened. You know, I don't know what was going on the inside, but outwardly, it was like no big deal. The Wildcats were either going to win the game or they weren't, and then they'd get Purdue. You just had a positive outlook. It was nice to. I could feel your long-term perspective and calmness, Dave. It helped me. I want to thank you.
Well, I'm glad I could help, because I have to tell you, the thing that I'm constantly amazed by, Joey Meyer, who coached in so many big games and was on the sidelines for so many big games alongside his dad, and then himself as a head coach coaching NCAA tournament games, Joey gets more nervous during these games when it's coming down to the wire. And, I mean, he's totally invested in the Wildcats. And it was great to see his reaction on Wednesday night. But, look, I'm just trying to keep you guys calm. I did my best. And, you know, I think, we all have to worry about our engineer, who's bigger than all of us combined. And, you know, we don't want him to go crazy.
No, okay, so I was amongst the people. I was across from you guys,
and
they add 0.4 of a second. The ball goes out of bounds, 1.3 seconds. They add 0.4 of a second, and some Michigan fans, a lot of Michigan alum in the house, someone says, "Oh, that won't matter," but it did. How about the not only the play call, but the execution, Dave, of that last play? I don't think Aaron Rodgers could have thrown a better pass.
No, it was a tremendous pass, And you had to feel so good for Nathan Taphorn because he talked about it. He's acknowledged after that Notre Dame game in Brooklyn when it looked like the Wildcats had staged this great comeback and they had the lead final seconds against Notre Dame, and his turnover ended up leading to Notre Dame winning that game. And so, you know, he's a guy who's handled a tough situation. I mean, he's been a role player with his team, and he's handled his role very well. He's been their highest percentage three-point shooter all year. And as one of the two seniors on this team, he'll be honored tomorrow on Senior Day. And you just had to feel really good for him to come in that situation and throw a pass. And I'm sure you guys have seen the video that Northwestern posted on their website of Clayton Thorson, their quarterback.
Hysterical.
Cameron Green, one of their super backs, trying to replicate the play and unable to do it. And I got such a kick out of that, because this was one of those once in a lifetime kind of plays. And when these guys get together and have their 20th reunion, and which will be in, let's see, 2037, I'll be long gone by then.
No,
I'll be filling in Saturdays.
Yeah, I hope so. But when they have their reunion, they're going to relive this, and that's going to be the play that they will always remember. I mean, that's one of those plays in someone's career that you can, you know, you will always have fond memories of. And I think anyone who was there that night, all 8,114 or 8,117, which will multiply every year by at least 10. You know, we'll say they were there the night that Nathan Taphorn threw that pass to Derek Pardon that got him in the tournament for the first time. You know, it's just one of those moments. You don't get as many of them as you'd like, but when they happen, they're really special. And, you know, I think it's great that everybody has paid attention to this, because those kinds of plays don't come along every day.
Yeah, and I think, like, everybody was sleeping on it, too. Like, I'm fiddling for my phone, and I got this new iPhone, and I don't know how to work it. I'm trying to take a video, and I completely blow it. Adam Phillips, thank you for getting the job done there. But, you know, all of a sudden there was just, you know, such a relief that they had gotten through, and in the most dramatic fashion. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's a dog pile right in front of you, Dave.
And literally at our feet.
It was amazing at, like, how there was just not a reality check of going, hey man, if this could happen right now, this place is going to go bananas. Like, I didn't even, it was just, to me, it was like completely out of nowhere what happened. I don't know if you felt the same way.
Well, I did, but let's rewind to Saturday night in Bloomington, Indiana, where Thomas Bryan makes a 3-point play with, what, 2.9. And Northwestern takes the ball out, 2.9 seconds to go. And Brian McIntosh takes a shot from midcourt that just spins off the rim. It just went around the rim and came off. That's how close they were to winning that game on a half-court shot, which, by the way, Indiana had hit just before halftime, and that ended up being the difference in the game. But I'm kind of looking for something like that. It's a really gutsy play to throw it all the way down the floor, 94 feet, because if it goes out of bounds, then Michigan's got a chance to win the game in the final seconds.
The voice of Wildcat basketball, Wildcat football, star of the Steve Cochran, Dave Ennett Show. Dave Ennett, I'm with Mark Kerman, Harry Tynowitz on WGN on the beat. Vic Law was awesome. He was everything you needed to be. Every time he scores, makes a great defensive play. We in the stadium have to hear this.
Harry's been working on that all week, Dave.
We talked about it last time we had you on, Dave. He's got to shoot more. They're a better team when he is shooting more. And boy, he was just terrific on Wednesday night.
Well, and his defense has been so good all year. But he had been in a bit of a slump, and he needed a breakout game like that. And they needed him to have a game like that. And, you know, what's exciting, and I think what Wildcat fans have to be excited about as they look toward the postseason, next week's Big Ten tournament in Washington, and then the NCAA tournament, is you have Vic Law, you have Scotty Lindsey, who's led you in scoring all year. You've had Bryant McIntosh, who's had a great, he's really come on in the Big Ten season. He's tied, actually, for the team lead in scoring and leading them in Big Ten play in points per game. So you have these three guys who can, on any given night, score for you. Plus you have Pardon, who's really, I think, become a force for them, and both defensively, obviously, and can score. And then, you know, you've got other guys who will come in. Taphorn will come in, hit a big three. Sanjay Lumpkin on a given night can be a factor. So, you know, it's nice not to have to lean too hard. When Scotty was out, they were leaning pretty heavily on Brian McIntosh because Vic was really, I think, leaving it all on the defensive end, and he was in a bit of a shooting slump. But he appeared to break out of that in a big way on Thursday night or Wednesday night. So, you know, you go into the tournament, these guys all firing. That's a really promising look for the Wildcats to have going into the Big Ten tournament.
You know, I get a bunch of texts, Dave, after the game, right? And some of them are from Northwestern fans who just want to do this Chris Collins, Bill Carmody comparison. See, look at Collins. And I just want, like, a little reality check for Northwestern fans. Like, Bill Carmody, he had him super close. He did a great job when he was there. He just unfortunately never got over the hump. There was some bad timely injuries, and the Big Ten in some of those years was really, really, really good. So I just think, like, as they look at the moment where the program's at right now, I think, you know, for Northwestern fans, like, give Carmody credit from at least going A to B and putting them on the map as a respectable, going to the NIT three straight years. And Chris has just taken them to the next level in an incredible way, and he deserves a ton of credit. But I think they both deserve some props for what's going on.
Yeah, no question about it. I think Bill deserves a lot of credit. He was there 13 years, and things were not good early in his tenure. And he took them to a point where on Selection Sunday, there was at least a glimmer of hope. It was not a real strong glimmer. There was one time, I think, where I kind of thought, well, maybe they have a chance. But they did go to the NIT for a stretch there in consecutive years. And, yeah, that for them was a stepping stone, or at least they hoped it would be. But, you know, you have to do this. You have to make this step. And Chris, I think, came in there believing it could be done. He's a Chicago guy. He totally bought into the program, and I think his players bought in. And, you know, you look at his first recruiting class, and I mentioned this to him on the air yesterday, guys. This hasn't been talked about very much, I don't think. But not only are Sanjay Lumpkin and Nathan Taphorn being honored before the game tomorrow because it's their senior day, but you've got three guys who are in Chris's first recruiting class who are going to play their last game at Welsh Ryan Arena tomorrow. Bryant McIntosh, Scotty Lindsey, and Gavin Skelly, who are all going to be seniors next year when they're playing their home games at Allstate Arena. So, you know, I got to think those guys want to remember their last home game, their last game in Evanston. Yeah, it won't be their last, technically not their last home game. I got to think they're going to want to remember it as something really special. But those guys, you know, and plus Lumpkin, who had been a Carmody guy, and Nathan Taphorn, who was recruited by Carmody and then decided to stay when the coaching change was made. I mean, those guys have all helped elevate this program to the point where now, as Jim Nance told Teddy Greenstein in the Tribune, I don't know if you guys have seen the story, but this is the number one story in college basketball. Yeah. I don't know if that's
true or not,
but it's got to be pretty close.
I think it is. Let's take a quick survey. Yeah, I say it's true.
True.
True. All right. It's true.
See, if I say it, everybody says, well, yeah, you're a homer, and you're just
that's right
giving the company line, but which maybe I think they really are. I mean, I think this is the reaction to this one play on Wednesday night, which at the time, and Mark, you were standing there when we ushered Scotty Lindsey over to the table while everything was up for grabs in Welsh Ryan Arena. And I'm thinking, this is the single greatest moment in the history of this building.
No question.
And it really was. It's like almost too big to even comprehend at that time how big this was.
It was unbelievable, and then it was just like when you were in high school. They made the game-winning shot, and everybody's like, Purdy at Ennis. And they all descend upon right in front of your broadcast. Dave, Northwestern, as you know, is a team that creates offense from its defense, but that's what Michigan mm-hmm. was able to do Wednesday night. As sweet as the Cats played, you know, in the final seconds, they didn't take care of the ball very well early on in the game. So how do they address the problem of errant passing?
Well, I mean, it's an issue. I think part of that was I think Michigan defended pretty well early. I think some of that, you know, Michigan had a lot to do with some of that. You know, the irony of that is that these are the two least turnover prone teams in the Big Ten, and both of them, Harry, were turning the ball over in the first half. I'm not that worried about that because I don't think Northwestern's going to do that game in and game out. I mean, they've had a few games where they've had some turnovers and it's cost them. But I would take my chances with Bryant McIntosh handling the ball, you know, 9 times out of 10, he's not going to turn it over. There were just some, you know, a little miscommunication. I think Michigan maybe overplaying a little bit and able to jump at the passing lanes and make some steals. But I don't think it's going to be a problem for him day in and day out.
Great Dave Ennett, who is going to leave the program now and go have some fun and get ready for tomorrow with Purdue. 3:15 pregame, 3:30 tip. Special ceremony at Welsh Ryan tomorrow. If you have tickets, great. If you don't, it's going to be expensive to get in. It's a big-time ticket tomorrow.
Cool. And Mark, actually, we're going to be on the air at 3:05.
Okay.
We're going to carry the senior day ceremony, which will be sometime between 3:05 and I think around 3:15 or so. So we will we'll have that live here on WGN tomorrow. And of course, I'm going to see you and Harry at the American Lung Association Fight for Air Climb tomorrow morning, right? We're all going to climb the presidential towers. all four towers together tomorrow?
Dave, if I reach down and tie my shoes, I'll be participating in the American Lung charity event.
I'll be there, Dave.
Put me on the email next time, and I'll be there.
All right, next year, buddy. It's, okay. it's only 366 days away. Hey, I'm sorry. I got one more question. If they win out, can they get to a 7 seed? I think they want to be a 7 or a 10, at least by the way I'm looking at the bracket. And if they are a 7 or a 10, they can play in Indy. I mean, do you have any sense on where they'll go?
I really don't. I've heard all different possibilities. I think Joe Lunardi has them as a 9 seed right now. You know, that 8 versus 9, look, I mean, that's middle of the bracket, right? If you had said before the season that you're talking about Northwestern being a middle of the bracket NCAA team, then I think you say, okay, I could live with that. But then again, the downside of that is you're going to go up against the top seed. So from that standpoint, I think your scenario, plus, I mean, we know the success. We know how those 7-10 games tend to go in the tournament. I think right now it's just, you know, do what you see what happens tomorrow against a Purdue team, which has already wrapped up the top seed. Maryland just knocked off Michigan State on a last-second shot by Mello Trimble. And you've got Wisconsin playing Minnesota, which also has a lot of bearing on what happens with the Wildcats seeding in the Big Ten tournament. I think they can go to Washington. And, you know, one thing they have never done, guys, is win 2 games in the Big Ten tournament. So that would be a nice place to start.
No doubt.
That moment Wednesday night, that finish was, if that was November and they were beating, you know, Farley Dickinson, that would have been a big game. For it to be the Wednesday night before the season ends against Michigan and have that play, that was awesome.
It was the best. Dave, thank you. Yeah. Enjoy your afternoon.
Okay, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Dave Annett, okay. Voice of the Wildcats, sports director. Steve Cochran, show dominator on 720 WGN. All right. We went very long with Dave, so we're behind on a couple timeouts here, Harry. We got the 3:30 news, and then we're switching to Blackhawks. Brent Sopel, newest member of your WGN sports team, will be with us to talk Blackhawk hockey. Another win for the Hawks last night over the Islanders, and on the road tonight at Nashville, 6:30 pregame right here on 720 WGN.
Here's Panarin, 2 for 3 on the season, picks up the puck at center ice. Cruises over the Islander line down the left wing for the win. Cuts in front. Shoots. He scores! Hawks win in the shootout. 6 wins in a row for the Chicago Blackhawks. Artemi Panarin lights the lamp in the shootout. The Hawks win the shootout 2-0. They win the hockey game 2-1.
Yes, indeed, John Weideman. Fantastic call, as always, right here on 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carman. He's Harry Tynowitz. Harry, do you have any Vancouver Canucks jerseys?
Strangely, for a team that I hate, I have multiple Vancouver Canucks jerseys. I have a Tiger Williams jersey, 22, and I have a Brent Sopel Canucks jersey, the blue one, number 3.
How about that, Brent Sopel, newest member of the WGN radio sports team? Harry Tynowitz has your Canucks jersey.
Well, Harry, maybe when I'm in next time, maybe bring it in. I'll sign it for you.
I would love to have your autograph on that jersey. That would be awesome. I did this voiceover for this hockey game, and these guys were all from Vancouver, and they said, we're getting you a Canucks jersey. I go, I want Sopel's. And there it was the next week for me. It's a prized possession.
Awesome. Oh, you know, absolutely. And the funny thing is, the only game-worn jersey in my pro career that I don't have is my Vancouver Canucks.
Oh, maybe we could work something out.
Can you imagine if in Brent Sopel's closet it's all these game-worn jerseys and he'd be lying, but he would have you'd have the jersey courtesy of Harry. Brent, well, hey man, well, congratulations on joining the WGN sports team, my friend. Good. I'm assuming that you're mostly happy to be here.
Yeah. well word. I'll bridge that. Yes, I'm very happy. Absolutely. I'm thrilled to, you know, Todd and I were finally to get together and take care of business. I love what I do, and just as you guys love what you're doing, but when I'm out there, I just love informing people and trying to teach them, you know, way I see the game, and which is completely different than, you know, majority of the people.
Well, you see it from a lot of angles. Of course, you played as a blue liner. The Hawks have a couple of big injuries now with Jalmerson and Oduya. What do you think of the way that Michael Roosevelt didn't play for like a month, and now he's played four games straight? Pretty solid performances by number 32.
Oh, you know, give Rosie a lot of credit. And the crazy part, Rosie and I go back to, we played junior together when we were 17 years old. That's how far back Rosie and I go back. But, you know, it's an example of why you bring in veteran defensemen. As the season goes on, there's bumps and bruises and injuries. It's 82 grueling long games. And then in playoffs, you don't just play with 60, you know, last cup run, you know, they basically play with 3.5, you know, guys are getting tossed in, guys are injured. So you play with 60, then 7, then 8. So you got to have that experience. But, you know, a veteran guy who's been around and knows his role and is ready when he's called upon, and he's done a marvelous job, you know, to this point.
Brent Sobel with us here at 720 WGN. The Blackhawks have won 6 in a row. So we've got an injured backup goalie in Scott Darling, Brent. If you're Coach Q, are you going to roll with Corey Crawford basically every night? I mean, Jeff Glass, 31 years old, has never played a game in the NHL, is now your backup goalie. So maybe he can do it, but maybe he can't. How would you go about it?
I got to go see Glass. No, I played against him in when I was in the KHL together. But, you know, congrats to him, you know, to being up with the big club when you're 31. It's been a dream of his. So happy to see him up. Not happy to see Scott Darling, but it's all about opportunities. I guess you got to really break down that schedule. You know, I haven't looked far enough. You know, is there any back-to-backs? Who are you playing? Can you ride Corey Crawford? Absolutely. Would I hesitate to? Absolutely not. You got to take a look at, you know, he just had a number of games off. You know, he had that surgery where he missed a lot of time. Now, if you're Corey Crawford and going to play 60 to 70 games this year, then you would really probably contemplate, figure out, you know, we might have to do something with a backup goalie situation. But, you know, I have no problem riding Corey Crawford, letting him get that groove again, coming back from being sick. And coming into playoffs, you need him firing all cylinders, and you need the whole team firing on cylinders. So he's your number one. You're paying him as a number one. Use him as a number one.
Well, they've got a guy, number 72, who's like Ovi Jr. Panarin has been fantastic from that face-off circle to the goaltender's right. Panarin's a sniper out there, but the last 20 games, he's been MIA. Do you think scoring last night, and then, of course, netting the game winner in the shootout, you think that's the like the juice that gets Panarin going now?
Well, you know, the game of hockey is all about confidence. If you don't have confidence, you squeeze your stick harder. You try harder, and the crazy thing is, the harder you try, the less it's going to work. So, do I think this is going to change him? Absolutely. You know, there's highs and lows and slumps, and he was in it. I definitely think this will. You'll get him out of the slump. You'll watch. He'll go on a run now. He'll go on a streak of 7 points in the next 10 games, or 5-7, something like that. I see that happening. The Hawks need that. They need him to get firing on all cylinders. Everybody else is gone. We got some bumps and bruises on the back end, but, you know, same on that front end too. So, number 72, this poor Russian that I chased around screaming out in English and a few Russian words for many times. He's a special kid.
So I'm crunching the schedule here, Brent. We got a back-to-back tonight, but I mean, Darling had played in 2 of the 3 games before that. So I'm Corey's going to go tonight, and then you don't play again until the 9th next Thursday. Then you have a back-to-back with Detroit. Then you got to play on Sunday, so that's 3 and 4 nights, and then it's like every other game. I want Jeff Glass to get at least one start here. This would be, you know, come on, 31 years old, finally getting the call to the big club. You got to get him in net at least once. I mean, the Hawks have won 11 of 12 here. I get that you're 1 point behind the Wild, but I'd like to see him get a shot at it at some point here.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more, and I couldn't be happier. And if he does, if Glasser gets that, I'm going to be watching. You know, so like I said, to know him and to be able to have that. But all you want to do is make the playoffs. You know, only person that cares about finishing first are the owners, so they know they can bank more playoff games at home where, you know, they make the big money. But normally it doesn't care. We don't care. You know, you got to make that big dance. You got to win on the road and you got to win at home. So if you finish first, you finish third, it doesn't really matter who you play. This is the NHL now. Those eight teams on the eastern side and the western side, they're great teams. They made the playoffs for a reason. So that's right. I agree with you. You know, give them a shot. You know, if you don't finish first, so be it. You know, you still got to go through all these good teams to make it the end. Give Jeff Glass a start so he can actually say if he never ever makes it again, he's played one NHL game.
Right. I've taken old glasses off the shelf before.
Well, yeah, and more importantly, like, keep Corey Crawford fresh for the playoffs. You don't need to grind him into the ground. I mean, I think I wanted to present it that way, too. Like, hey, you know, I know you want to win games, but you also want a fresh goalie come the postseason.
Yeah, but, you know, I agree with you, on both fronts, but I don't think, riding him hard. You're not riding him hard, maybe I didn't, say it the right way. You're not riding him hard because he's missed a lot of time this year. You've had Darling step up. You know, obviously Corey had his surgery. His appendix out. He missed a month there. So he didn't play any of those games. He's just coming back off the flu. So it's not like you're grinding him, and riding him where he'd be playing a full schedule. You know, it might do him some good to really get some games and some looks and some action on a consistent basis here because he has missed a lot of time this year.
Brent, when Taves is playing with, Hossa and Saad, that's an awesome line. But now he's got Richard Panik and Nick Schmaltz when Schmaltz is healthy. That line has been dynamite lately. Where is your level of confidence in Richard Panik, a guy that the last place Leafs just didn't want last year, and how he's blossomed into a big hitter and a big scorer for the Blackhawks?
Well, certain people don't sit, fit in certain organizations or certain players. You know, you've got to be comfortable and you got to fit. Like, I was a suitcase. I got traded 7 or 18. And I always had to look at it that they wanted me, that not the team that didn't want me. I had to look at it as the team that wanted me. Now, the Blackhawks have an amazing core of guys around them where they can bring in, guys like, Panik, and everybody's like brought in teaming in. Why are you bringing him in? We just had a conversation about Michael Roosevelt. Everybody's like, why are you bringing this guy in? They have such an amazing core of guys that they can go and find these kind of diamonds in the rough from different organizations. Let's go into Nisimov. We went down the trade for Nisimov. People are like, why are you trading for him? Why? Well, they see something that other people don't. And, it's something about the instincts. You got to find great scouts. But again, I talk about a great coach, great coaching staff, and an amazing core where you can plug this in. Schmaltz has been, we knew he was going to be a great player, but a young player that needed to find the way of the NHL, understand the grind, what it is day in, day out. And I think all of them, Ryan Hartman, Hannes Rosa when he was up, it took them to really some time to understand what it is like playing in the NHL, because it's not the AHL, it's not college, it's not junior anymore. Now you're playing with the big boys. So when you're playing with Jonathan Taves, please, I wish I had the skill where I could play with him and I was a forward. It'd be heaven.
Oh, man. Scouts, another young guy that has been playing very well, who started the year in Rockford and now has come up and you can't get him out of the lineup, is 67, American Caro. How about Tanner Caro and everything he's been able to do?
Yeah, Caro's been a very, very pleasant surprise. But, it's the same thing that the Hawks have done for a number of years, that, it kind of like the Detroit Red Wings. This is the first year in 25 years they're not going to make the playoffs.
Isn't it great?
The way they way they develop their players is they never rushed anybody into their lineup. They throw their guys in the minors for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, playing the Grand Rapids, and really learn how to be a pro. So then when you're a pro, you got called up to the NHL. You were ready to go. There was no learning curves. There was no time. And Kira was a lot like that. Go down and send him down to the AHL. And the AHL, by the way, is the best development league out there. And I learned my skills there, riding the bus and grinding out in three games and three nights. And that was it. You sent him down there, give him credit where, he learned his game. He learned the pro game. He understood what he had to do. Obviously, Joe Quenneville does a great job of always outlining what that guy's role is. And you got to give Kirill credit. You know, it's, you get that opportunity, it's either you take advantage of it or you don't. And right now he's got that bull by the horns, and he's saying, listen, you know what? I'm going to play too good to make you not send me back. And he's done an amazing job of it.
The great Brent Sopel with us on 720 WGN. Real quick tonight, Blackhawks at Nashville. You got a little PK Subban. You got. I mean, Forsberg's got a couple of hat tricks in the last 2 weeks. Of course, the Hawks have had their own with both Kane and Taves. But it's an interesting one tonight, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, you know, the history behind Nashville, and, you know, they're trying to keep all the Blackhawks fans everywhere. But, you mentioned a couple guys that Phil Forsberg, this guy had 7 goals in 3 games. He was unbelievable. You know, it's a team that's kind of been all over the map. There's been no consistency, but you guarantee, you know, on a Saturday in Nashville, the Blackhawks in town, there's going to be a lot of Hawks fans, and it's going to be a war. It always is. It always has been. It's just that it's got one of those rivalries now from all the times that we beat them. You know, it's a great building play in Nas Vegas, as we like to call it. So much fun when we're down there too. So looking forward to seeing it.
Brent, before we let you go, and again, WGN listeners will be hearing a lot of you during the Hawks' playoff run to another Stanley Cup. You said you would yell at Panarin with some Russian words. The only Russian words that I know really are like "niet" and "vodka." What are some other words? What are some other Russian words you know?
The first words, I learned how to order 2 beers. Yeah, you know, 2 beers were the first learn. I learned out of that. I learned how to swear right away, so I'm not gonna, you know, I'll leave that alone. Nobody would understand,
right.
You know, swearing. But you know, I learned how to, you know, I was able to learn how to order food, katishka fry, you know, French fries. You know, I was there for 3 years, so I was swearing. And for the first year, I had sworn English because I didn't know the Russian words. But as soon as I picked up the Russian words. And the look on his face after a whistle would be like, dude, are you kidding me? Go back to your own country.
Go to the K and learn how to swear in Russia.
Exactly.
Brent, great to have you on board at WGN. It was great to do a show with you out at the United Center, however many weeks ago that was. And looking forward to having you in studio and seeing you a bunch, man.
All right, John. Can't wait.
Thanks, Brent. There you go. 720 WGN, your newest member in the Blackhawks with Nashville tonight, 6:30 pregame.
I think he enjoyed doing the show with you at the United Center, John.
Did he just call me John?
Oh, yeah.
Well, and that's a huge upgrade for me. Maybe he thought I was John Weideman. Could I be Weideman?
I don't know.
It wasn't Weideman, it was just John. Well, John Mark, what's the difference?
John DeCosh, heard on the Steve Cochran show.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of really talented Johns in radio.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to think of one off the top of my head. You got one for me?
There's
John Williams, huh? Maybe he thinks I'm John Williams.
That would be good for you.
That would be good for me. This could be, I think my career just took the next step. 720 WGN. Thanks to Brent Sopel for jumping on. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. Bulls and the Clippers tonight at the United Center. Bulls have been actually playing better basketball as of late. And you should know that Chris Bryant has gone deep. The Cubs leading the Dodgers 7-3 as spring training moving along here. Cubs are 2-5 on the spring. Do not worry. That's okay. And talk about this coming back after a timeout. But Jason Hayward today, he's got an RBI. He's got a walk. He's got a strikeout. He's also 0-2, which puts him on the spring at Dan Long. Put you on the spot. What's Jason Hayward on the spring at the plate?
0-15 now?
That's correct. 0-15. I know it's spring training. I don't want to go over the top here, but I would like to see Jason Hayward get a hit. Maybe multiple hits. His new batting stance, not giving me a ton of confidence. But we'll talk about, we'll do a little spring training coming up after 4 o'clock. Also, Rutgers beat Illinois today. Hard to believe that the Illini actually got themselves in position to get into the NCAA tournament, but they had done it, and then they just blew it today by losing on the road at Rutgers 62-59. Illinois had a 10-point lead in the second half and just couldn't come through. So they go into the Big Ten tournament at 8-10 in the league. which is just not going to be enough to get it done. Indiana beat Ohio State 96-92, so the Hoosiers finish up the Big Ten season 7-11. Same thing for the Buckeyes, and both were 17-14. So I guess an outside shot for the NIT for both Indiana and Ohio State. And Maryland beat Michigan State 63-60. So Michigan State is 10-8, which means that the Wildcats can be ahead of them in seeding if they win tomorrow. Michigan State beat Northwestern, so that, I believe, is the tiebreaker. So State would have that, but as Dave Ennett was talking about, it'd be interesting if the Cats can get in the as high a seed as possible and move along through the Big Ten tournament playing less games. So Michigan State losing today was good for Northwestern as Maryland beats them 63-60. Quick timeout, 4 o'clock news coming right up, 720 WGN.
What in the why?
Chicago sports spoken here.
What in the sports is going on here?
This is The Beat.
720 WGN, good afternoon, 407. I'm Mark Carmen, he's Harry Tynowitz. The Northwestern Wildcats are in the NCAA tournament.
So great.
435, Nathan Taphorn will be joining us on the program.
Nice.
Little tap-tap.
Nice.
The man who threw the pass to Derek Pardon that will go down in history as the greatest play in the history of the Wildcats, at least to this point.
Hey, Welsh Ryan Arena.
Yeah.
That was probably the greatest play in the history of Welsh Ryan Arena.
No question. Okay, so the Chicago Bears, let's talk a little football here, and the NFL Combine, Adam Hogue's going to be with us today at 5:10. So we have a little Combine talk. Adam's been in Indy all week. There's a guy this year, he started 12 games. He had a completion percentage of 60%. He threw 16 touchdown passes to only 4 interceptions. He had a quarterback rating of 90.7. The Chicago Bears are looking for a quarterback. He has opted out of his contract with the San Francisco 49ers. His name, I think you know, is Colin Kaepernick. Now, the Bears may draft a quarterback, and I would be shocked if it was with the number 3 overall pick, but I would think in the second round, perhaps they will draft someone. We can talk about that with Hogue. But to me, Colin Kaepernick's an interesting name out there right now. And a lot of people had a huge reaction, Harry, to Kaepernick saying that he is not going to kneel anymore. He's going to stand for the national anthem in 2017. And so all the people that were dissing on Kaepernick came running out saying, I knew it. You couldn't do it forever. Now you're a free agent. You're looking for a job. And so you're going to stand. You sell out. And to me, it's just offensive, man. Like, whether you agree or you don't agree with his stance and trying to shed light, I don't quite understand the people that don't agree with it in the fact that he's just trying to shed light on an area that's very personal to him. And it's not against police officers, and it's not, I don't even look at it as against the country. He just wants to make the country better. He's in his own little corner. But if you for somebody, just the pure standing up for what you believe in and losing endorsement money and getting a ton of scorn and being willing to do that for a whole NFL season, I feel like you got to give the guy at least some respect, and some people are just unwilling to do that.
Right. He and the irony is he stood up by taking a knee. It's okay that he changed his mind. What he wanted to do was he wanted to make the world aware. He wanted to make people aware. He wanted to start the conversation. And he realized that as a quarterback in the NFL, the spotlight was shining on him. I don't think it can all be, it all be said like he couldn't handle it. He had to bail. You know, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who used to be Chris Jackson, he LSU star who played in the Cal star, I believe, who played in the NBA. Remember, he wouldn't stand for the national anthem.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a religious thing. Okay, his religion forbid him. He didn't want to stand, so he stopped standing. You know, that's different than what Colin Kaepernick did. Colin Kaepernick wanted to draw attention to the fact that African Americans were, not getting enough notice for what was going on with police, the violence. And he has said now that he's not going to kneel anymore. He'll be standing. I would have no problem if the Bears got him. The Bears could go after Colin Kaepernick because not only did he throw 16 touchdowns to four picks, he ran for 500 yards.
Right. And I think it'd be just, listen, I mean, look at the options. Would you rather watch Colin Kaepernick try to somehow, some way, will the Bears to victory along with Jordan Howard and whoever's going to be at wide receiver?
Maybe you.
Maybe me. Alshon Jeffrey, I guess there's an outside chance that he still comes back, but they didn't. I was surprised the Bears didn't franchise tag him, considering they've got $70-odd million to play with and
got a lot of bread.
So, and you got to spend the money. So I thought he would be back, but he's not. Maybe he will be. So you're not trying to win next year, and you're trying to have a stopgap guy, and you're also trying to have somebody that maybe could be a leader in the locker room. And this Colin Kaepernick was voted by the San Francisco 49ers to. Let me get the right award here by the Niners. He was given the Len Eshmont Award for courage and inspiration on and off the field. So here's a guy who was productive on the field, 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 60% completion percentage, not great, but it's not terrible either. And he was basically beloved by his teammates.
Yeah, despite all the things that were going on. Look, He wanted to shine a light that African Americans were getting, you know, treated poorly by law enforcement. He was able to do that. Give him credit for doing that in a nonviolent way. This is not a story about an athlete who got drunk and beat his wife. This is not a story about an athlete who, the Darren Sharper story, which is horrible, all the women that he sexually assaulted. This is an athlete who said, you know what, I can use this spotlight for something good. He can still play. He lost his starting job and he won it back. And I think he'd be a better quarterback than a lot of the guys the Bears could get. He's not the quarterback of the future.
No.
But just to start, you don't want to be 3-13.
I wouldn't think, unless you're trying to do the old lose to get high draft picks. But
no,
the Bears aren't.
No,
the Bears don't
no.
do that. 312-981-7200. Any thoughts on Colin Kaepernick is welcome. I mean, he's being called 312-981-7200. He's being called a sellout, a fraud, a phony, an opportunist is the big one, right? Oh, now you're a free agent, which, by the way, he opted out and chose to become a free agent.
How much do you think that the team that signs him has to worry about his public perception? I mean, if you believe in him as a quarterback, do you also have to evaluate what the public perception of your fan base is? Or do you just say, hey, you know, he's not going to be taking a knee. His numbers are great. He's a physical, you know, Adonis. I'm putting him on the team.
You're going to have to answer some questions. And you're going I'd be shocked if the Bears did it. It does not jive with how they go about their business at Halas Hall. But I think it's a simple thing. Look, we've always appreciated Colin's talent, and we were looking for a quarterback, and he's available, and Colin has conducted himself in a first-class manner. And he, as much as some have viewed him as a distraction, he wasn't at all in that locker room. And we've talked to the Niners and how great of a teammate he was. So we're super excited about having him, and we think he can help us win football games. I mean, that's the statement, right?
Yeah, and again, he ran for 500 yards. You know, he's playing on a bad team. And he was able to do pretty good. Football is not a one-man sport. Dan Marino went to one Super Bowl. You know, Colin Kaepernick can still make things happen on the field. He's not a great quarterback. He's not a Pro Bowl quarterback. But he is physically gifted. And he was able to throw 4 touchdowns for every pick he threw last year.
Family is under the microscope, right, for him. It's his relationship.
Sure.
I mean, it's a whole... I'm just trying to point out, like, when people disguise like this.
Well, the Cutler perspective is he doesn't give a damn.
Right.
You know, I mean, would you rather have a guy who, you know, did something that, you know, here's the thing, okay? We've never been more aware of what the military does for us. We've always been aware that we have, you know, the right, you know, that our democracy gives us the right, you know, to make choices and the right to have our own opinions and that's because the military, you know, keeps us free to do all that. But the military has never been honored like every national anthem in the country now. There's or every game in the country, someone, you know, baseball, they do it usually in the middle of the game. But they honor someone who has served or someone who is serving or both. So Kaepernick, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, this is horrible that he disrespects the military, that he disrespects America. He doesn't disrespect it. He just couldn't stand all the death, you know, that the blacks, the African Americans were, you know, experiencing at the hands of a certain law enforcement.
Right, and he spoke up, and things have changed. And by the way, you look at, and when I say things have changed, you looked at how many people joined him around the NFL. Oh, yeah. I mean, there were a ton of players all season long that at different games or multiple games were with Kaepernick, and it did create conversation. And he also, by the way, donated $1 million to different justice-related causes, charities all over the country. I mean, he's given up. Not only was he taking on all the heat, but he was also donating $1 million out of his pocket. I just don't get it. But 312-981-7200. James on 720 WGN. Not a Cap fan, judging by what's on the screen here. What's up, James?
Hey, fellas. I've just heard what you said about calling, and I think the guys are real phony when he decides to kneel during a game, but then says it's okay after the anthem that I'm going to play. You got to go all the way. If you're going to kneel for the anthem, you also have to hold true to your beliefs and say, I'm not going to play as well. And to do it in a place like Soldier Field, you know, named after, you know, obviously the armed forces, that's another problem right there.
Yeah, oh, but hold on a second. He's trying to get attention, James. I mean, I don't think he's trying to – I mean, what would he accomplish by not playing?
Well, you'd show that you're true to your colors, and you'd really get attention. And, you know, you can't just say, you know, the anthem is part of the game. It's part of the game. So you can't just say, I'm going to participate in the part of the game I like.
James, if he were to say, I'm not going to play, they would not dress him. He would not then be on the sideline. He would then not have a spotlight to make his statement.
But it would be a bigger statement if he did say I'm not going to play till my clause gets attention. Wow. That would really bring a light on him. It seems sort of selfish.
Right.
I'm going to participate in the things I like about the game, but not the things I don't like.
Right. All right, James. I appreciate the phone call. I mean, I think you're asking too much. He's also, by the way, earning a living, and he can use, like he did, $1 million of his salary to give to causes that are on his heart.
The Blackhawks were amongst the first people in the country to put service people, current and past, on the ice, on the field of battle, when Jim Cornelison sings the national anthem. That's awesome. That's spectacular. I don't like Colin Kaepernick, you know, not honoring the longstanding tradition of standing during the national anthem, but I understand. I disagree with what he did. I totally disagree with what he did, but I understand why he did it, and he is now off of it.
708 texting in, since you're talking about the great Kaepernick, remind your fans, especially your African-American fans out there, when you get pulled over by the Chicago police, please don't resist arrest. Bad things always happen. Thank you, your Chicago Police Department. I don't know if that's a real tweet from a police officer or not, but I'm going to read that. And 630, sorry, I disagree with your position on Kaepernick. When you're on a team, you should do as a team. Protest on your own time. See, but that's the thing. Like, a lot of people are saying that, but his teammates were all supporting him. Some joined him, some didn't. And then they voted him again to the Len Eshmont Award for courage and inspiration on and off the field. I mean, those were his teammates, so they weren't bothered by it. Let's get Sharon in here, 312-981-7200. What's up, Sharon?
Hi, my name is Karen, with a K.
Oh, hey, Karen.
Hi. First of all, this is America. I have father, cousins, brothers that fought, and some have died for our flag. You're making a living here in our country, making good money. You respect America's values and our flag and what we stand for. First of all, what's going on in the country, you know, unless you have mental issues, you don't like it. There's a lot of things that go on. The shootings in Chicago, I don't like it. But I'll be damned, I am never going to disrespect my flag as a way of stating how I feel. And as far as him donating $1,000. I don't care if he donated $1 million. You respect this country and this country's values. This flag means a lot of things to a lot of people. People lost lives. People lost limbs.
And I think it's
a shame.
I hear you, Sharon. You know that there's a lot of...
Karen, I'm sorry.
Karen, you know there's a lot of veterans who fought, who have been supporting Colin Kaepernick. They fought in wars, and there was a group that developed the Veterans for Kaepernick.
Yeah, well, that's their choice. My choice is I don't support him. I was shocked from the day he did it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't care how good he is, what he does, or anything. You live in this country.
I hear you, Karen.
You respect our flag.
Karen, let me ask you, are you a Cub fan?
Damn right I am.
What'd you think about Aroldis Chapman pitching for the Cubs? Were you aware of his backstory?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. Well, he had a situation where where there was some domestic violence with his wife, or was his girlfriend?
Fired a gun.
Fired a gun, and it was a whole situation with the police and everything. Yet he was on the mound for the Cubs, almost blowing the World Series, but he was out there. I mean,
okay,
see what I'm getting at?
He had a domestic dispute
right.
with his wife at home, whatever. Okay, it's just like that other guy, Vic, that was torturing the dogs. You know, my opinion, he shouldn't have been allowed to be playing anymore at all. Oh, I know all the good stuff he did after the fact, and he's sorry and everything. He was torturing living animals.
Yeah, it's horrible. I'm a dog lover, and I had dogs growing up. Thanks a ton for calling WGN and the Beat, Karen. I had dogs growing up, Mark. I love dogs, and what Mike Vick did was deplorable dog fighting. And the way you train dogs in dog fighting is you put a dog that's not strong in there against a dog that is going to fight, and that dog will take the life of that other dog. But Mike Vick deserved a second chance.
Of course, he did.
He got a second chance. And he has made the most of it. All I'm saying with Colin Kaepernick, I disagree with his choice to take a knee, but I understand why he did it. And I am very happy to hear that he's not going to be doing it anymore. And if I were the Bears and my choices were Mike Glennon or Brian Hoyer or Colin Kaepernick, I would look long and hard at Colin Kaepernick.
Let's take a quick timeout. Well, it'll be interesting if the Bears would even consider it. I doubt they would. We'll get more calls in right after a two-minute timeout, 720 WGN. So I always get amused by when Michael Vick gets thrown out there, who did terrible things to dogs, and I love dogs. But Ben Roethlisberger, who allegedly had a girl in a bathroom in a bar, which was being barricaded by other guys so nobody else could get in there.
His security,
exactly. Sorry, Harry, I didn't have your mic on.
What?
I apologize.
Sorry.
You know, Vic comes up, people still hate Vic. Guy like Roethlisberger, that's like completely swept under the rug. Human being, animal. And I love dogs, let me be clear here. But it's just kind of, I do wonder about that, and then I kind of think about, I won't say it. I'll leave it out there. Tom, welcome to 720 WGN.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I was fortunate enough. I spent 5 years in the Navy, and then I got to do the anthem at the United Center with the Blackhawks with my great uncle, who was a World War II POW.
That's awesome, Tom. Congratulations! Thank you for your service.
It was great, and it was a good last moment with him before he passed away. But my thinking is, well, I don't necessarily agree with Colin Kaepernick and taking a knee during the anthem. I think a big part of this country should be focused on respecting differences in opinions, and that's something we all kind of need to take a look at and think about.
I couldn't agree more. And the fact that you served 5 years and you still feel this way is a great compliment to you, sir. Because a lot of people lose that perspective.
We need more of you, Tom. We want to clone you.
I appreciate it.
But we don't want to clone him because we're what's great about this country. We have so many individuals and individual species.
Absolutely.
Good point.
Hey, Tom, on the ice, I mean, how that is awesome from the stands. How awesome did that feel to be at, you know, be out there with Jim Cornelison and your uncle?
It was bone rattling. I thought I was, I had a, you know, 100 friends watching at home, and I thought I was shaking. I thought I was going to urinate in my pants, and I thought I was going to pass out and fall down on the ice. Taves skated by, you know, I was 3 feet away from the guy. It was the coolest thing in the world. But, you know, it's still one of the greatest memories I have.
Tom, do you like pizza?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you hold on. We'll get you some Lou Malnati's, man. Thank you for your service, and thanks for calling in. And thank you for not peeing on Jonathan Taves. But
if you urinate in your pants on the ice, then you have to join the St. Louis Blues.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, I'll avoid that.
Appreciate you, Tom.
Thank you.
All right, our guy, little Navy veteran calling the show and supporting Cap in his own way.
Yeah, you know,
that's what this country's all about, Harry.
It's where Rick Monday was the first player taken in the draft.
Yeah.
40 years ago. And Rick Monday played for the Cubs and then the Dodgers, went to the World Series of the Dodgers. He's best remembered for saving an American flag that two guys were going to burn in the middle of a game at Dodger Stadium.
Which I think is incredibly cool on both levels. Like, the whole scene was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, that is America coming together. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. And not on the baseball field. I mean, come on. All right, quick timeout. Coming up, Nathan Taphorn from your Northwestern Wildcats. He threw the pass that shook the Wildcat college basketball world on 720 WGN.
1.7 to go in a tie game. Taphorn heaves it down the floor.
Got it.
Part of the catch. Puts it up.
Yes! Wildcats win! Wildcats win! Derek Parton at the buzzer for the win! And the Wildcats have beat Michigan 67-65.
Are we going to get trampled?
They're all in a pile right in front of us. Unbelievable.
Greatest win in Northwestern history. Punching their ticket, seemingly, to the big dance, the NCAA tournament. I'm Mark Carman. He's Harry Tynowitz at 720 WGN. Nathan Taphorn, the senior, he threw the pass. And thanks for joining us, Nate. First of all, I watched you come out of the huddle walking down to the baseline, and you did not, at least in my opinion, look confident at all. Like, you were taking deep breaths. It was not a look of joy on your face at all. I mean, I felt the nerves for you. I mean, is that about accurate?
No, I mean, it was a throw that was going to be tough to make, but I coming off the bench kind of cold a little bit, but no, I had confidence myself just to make the throw. It was just a matter of time, timing, and when it was going to be thrown and who was going to be on the ball and just all sorts of different things and having people in my ear kind of tell me what's going on. So, yeah, I had some doubts, but no, I had some confidence in myself as well.
Nathan, it was the greatest pass ever. I mean, Aaron Rodgers couldn't have thrown a pass like that. I'm sure you've seen the video of Clayton Thorson, you know, trying to throw that exact same pass. How often do you practice that?
No, that's some funny comparisons, but no, we don't really practice it at all. I mean, we'll joke around and throw some long balls or just kind of mess around after practice, but there's not often when we just kind of practice those things, but yeah.
So let's rewind here. You're in your senior year. You were originally recruited by Bill Carmody. You've seen basically everything you can possibly see as a Northwestern Wildcat. You're out there. You guys lose an incredibly tough game Saturday to Indiana. And the Michigan game was so intense the entire way, and you had some huge threes, the crowd's going nuts, incredible atmosphere at Welsh Ryan. But to me, like, the whole celebration, everything that just happened at the end came out of complete nowhere. Like, did you even in your mind think, we're going to win this game, we're going to have a huge celebration? Like, did that even cross your mind at all?
No, I mean, not really, no. You don't usually think of those things, but no, when it happened, it was probably one of the greatest feelings you could ever have. Just seeing Derek catch it and put it in was awesome. So you don't walking up to the baseline, you don't really see those things happening, but when they do, it's one of the greatest feelings.
So now you've got Purdue tomorrow, and what will be, so Wednesday night was the penultimate, and I feel like as a Northwestern student athlete, you understand the word penultimate. I was just taught it. Tomorrow is the final game ever at Welsh Ryan. Do Wildcat fans need to worry at all that there is going to be a letdown after such an intense victory Wednesday night?
I don't think they need to worry about a letdown. As for us, just performing on the court, I think we're all locked in. We had two really good practice days, and we're all prepped and ready for tomorrow. And I think just being together tonight and getting ready for tomorrow will be the biggest thing. And I think that the crowd will take care of itself. And I think that just being the last game in Northwestern or at Welsh Ryan, and being the last game in Northwestern for myself and Sanjay, I think that emotions will be ran high, and it's gonna be a great atmosphere. And I think that just coming out and fighting and do what we need to do and try to win us a ball game.
So Sanjay's your roommate, correct?
Yes.
Okay, because I've been watching the journey here, Nate, and yeah. I see that you got some massive cooking skills.
Strong show on Big Ten Network.
I mean, he's grilling out. You got like a, I feel like you're, what do you got, asparagus going on with some salmon and some chicken over there? Harry, this guy is big time. I mean, I haven't eaten the way Tap Horn eats ever. I was impressed, Nate. I don't really have a question other than to say I'm very, you're a talented man on the court and off, sir.
Well, thank you very much. We usually just try to get together once a month or so when we can. And usually I like to cook for the guys and just whoever wants to come over, my friends or whatever. But at that time, it was just choice. It had to be steak and asparagus and some bread and just a nice salad. So it was all good.
Looked delicious.
Dude, when I was in college, I was ordering pizza for my friends. No one was making steak and asparagus. All right, so have you envisioned senior day? I mean, is it the type of thing like, you know, I know you've been working your butt off getting ready for the Boilermakers and trying to get a victory, but have you thought about senior day, that moment where you walk on the court and everybody, you know, your last time at Welsh Ryan with your family present?
Yeah, it'll be very emotional for Sanjay and I both. But you kind of think of those things when you, those 3 years before your senior night, I think that you, those three senior nights that you have for the guys that are before you. I think just with Drew Crawford, that was pretty emotional for all of us. I think just having him be with us, and I think that he was always a big brother to Sanjay and I, and then Deshaun and Dave, and then Ola and Trey. I think that those guys really set an example for senior nights, and I think that emotions be ran high, like I said, but no, I've envisioned it before, and just it'll all just kind of come as it is.
And so everybody, you know, they want to be a starter, they want to play big minutes, and you've been a guy coming off the bench, and you've just embraced it, for as far as I can tell, Nate. I mean, you always got a smile on your face, you're jumping around, you're supporting your teammates, and you just, I mean, it's obvious, you love being a part of this team, and you love playing. So I just enjoy that for somebody, because you know that you don't get to do it forever, and it's such a special opportunity to run out there and have people call your name, cheer you, and the whole thing. I get emotional every time on senior night. But, like, how did you, I guess, go from, like, hey, you know, I want all this, but I'm happy just to be a contributor and do whatever I can to help us win?
Yeah, I think that once you know that you're not a starter, and once you know that you have a role on the team, and once you embrace that role, you have a better time of doing what you're doing. And I love what I do. I think that the guys love what I do, but I love all the guys on the team. I love all the guys in the program, and they're just so much fun to be around. And we're such a tight knit group. It's so easy flowing when you get to those spots and you're not playing well, or you didn't hit a shot, or you're not starting anymore, or whatever it is, you got guys to lean on, and just trying to be that guy to lean on, be a big brother to those guys that need it. And I'm just trying to voice my opinion to whatever comes about. But I think that just kind of being that guy on the team where I'm bringing energy off the bench if I need to and when I need to. But I love all these guys on the team, and it makes it easy to do that.
You got to understand, for Mark, senior night means he hits on a woman in her 40s. A couple more minutes with Nathan Taphorn, the best passer in the NCAA. We saw Mario Tremble of Maryland come in here and look like the best player in the nation. But you guys had to deal with Caleb Swanigan tomorrow. Is he the best? I mean, how good is he for Purdue?
Well, he's a big guy. I think that he's one of the best bigs in the league, and he's got a force behind him. I think he's just on a mission to do whatever it takes to kind of just win. But no, we got to have a good scheme for him tomorrow and just kind of play with him or play against him as a team. I don't think we need to single out anybody guarding him or anybody trying to stop him alone, but just play him as a team. I think he's a really good player, and he'll do well at the next level. But we just need to kind of focus in on the whole team as well.
Nate, I don't want to put pressure on you guys, but I think you can make a run in the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's how I look at it. Don't you?
I mean, I think that you always dream about those days of making runs and just having a great time out there. I think that also the one thing that we need to focus on is just taking it game by game. No looking ahead, because once you look ahead, you might just escape the present. So you don't know what's going to happen, but you always dream about those times, and I always hope that they'll come true.
You know, it's like the rest of the country is going to be satisfied if you guys just get invited. But for you guys in that locker room, you know, for you and Sanjay that have invested so much time and energy and just, you know, aside from grilling steak and asparagus, this is everything to you. I mean, you need more than just to be invited to the big dance, don't you?
Yeah, I think that invitation's going to be great, and the birth of Northwestern and the NCAA tournament will be great. But, I don't think we're ever satisfied with whatever we get. I think that this team is just, we refuse to be satisfied with a win or satisfied with where we're at. So we always want more and want more out of each other as well.
So who's the best? You guys have the celebration going on after wins, and you guys douse Coach Collins with water, and he does some dancing. And I see Coach James on some of your some tweets that you've retweeted. Who's the best? Who's the worst? I'm sure you love both ranges here.
Yeah, no, I might be the worst dancer on the team, to be honest. But no, there's always a wide range of possibility with our team. I think that Barrett Benson and Scotty Lindsay are two great dancers when they are put together in the same room, as well as Isaiah. But no, we have a good time in the locker room after wins, and it's just fun.
All right. Well, hey, congratulations on the pass and the season, and most importantly, your career at Northwestern, Nate. You've had a great run, and let's hope that at least on the court continues for a long time. And I know that you'll always enjoy coming back to Northwestern, being around the program. Like, so many guys are coming back tomorrow. Dave Sobolewski is going to be there tomorrow. Kevin Coble's going to be there tomorrow. A bunch of guys all coming back for Senior Day. So congrats, and it's been fun watching you, man.
Well, thank you for having me on, and thank you very much for all the support you guys give me and all the team. I think that it just helps us a lot, and know that you guys got our back. So
we enjoy it.
Go Cats!
Go Cats, Nate!
Yes, sir. Go Cats!
We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you.
Nathan Taphorn. If you want to follow Tap on Twitter, you can do that by it's at @NU_Nate32. You can be his 1,060th follower.
When Northwestern missed the shot, McIntosh misses a shot, and Michigan gets the rebound, there's 9 seconds left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan is bringing the ball down court. There's only two things that can happen. Either Michigan is going to win the game, or they're going to miss, and we're going to have overtime. There's no way that Northwestern is going to win that game in regulation. And they found a way. There was a way. You know, how about they added that time on the clock?
Yep.
The ball went out of bounds with 1.3 seconds left, and a Michigan fan in front of me says, "Huh, they added 0.4 of a second." I'm like, well, hey, you obviously went to Michigan because you can subtract, 1.3 from 1.7. So, yeah, they added 0.4 of a second. That turned out to be pretty big.
I actually want to talk about you coming back. We'll take a real quick time out here. I want to talk to you and throw a question out to the listener, 312-981-7200. If you can tell me what happened and what should have happened in a scene where the referees completely got it wrong on a free throw.
Oh.
It was an unbelievable situation. Opportunity to a little trivia here. 720 WGN. Ernie Skadden in the house. He's going to be rocking the remote tomorrow. The air climb at the Presidential Towers. I'm going to be climbing. I'm going for a record tomorrow, Harry. Personal record. A PR.
Yes, how many flights? What's your record?
I'll do all... I always do all four, but I want to break 30 minutes, which is not that fast at all.
That's pretty quick to do all four buildings.
Yeah.
All four towers.
Professional climbers do it in like 12 minutes.
I know that you've done four flights of wine in 12 minutes.
That's true, I have. Back in the day, thank you very much. All right, so this is what happened the other night. If you weren't at the Northwestern game or watched the Northwestern game...
Listening.
I'd actually like to have you on the line right now, 312-981-7200 if you're a basketball fan. This is what happens. Derek Walton drives into the lane. I believe it was Derek Walton. I'm 97% sure. Doesn't matter. Michigan player drives in the lane. Gets fouled going up for a shot. The official rules on the floor. He clearly was pointing at the floor. Northwestern was in the 1-1. 7 fouls, not 10. So only one free throw coming. If you make it, you get a second. So he steps up to the foul line, shoots the free throw. It hits off the rim, and everybody on both Michigan and Northwestern thought it was a shooting foul. So it comes off the rim, it hits the ground, Derek Pardon grabs it, and then there's this awkward pause because nobody was actually going for the rebound, and the whistle blows because they don't exactly know what should happen. So you've got, in my mind, you had like a very obvious option here. If you actually called the foul on the floor like you did, which was wrong, but if you did, Northwestern grabbed the ball, it should have been Wildcat basketball.
Hell yes.
I mean, that to me was as clear as day. But so they go to the scorer's table to look at whatever they're going to look at, and I'm sitting there, what could you possibly come up with? And we don't have a ton of time here, so I can't take a ton of calls on this, but like, I want to know what people think. What would you think the ref would do there?
Can I tell you something else?
Yeah.
And, you know, the NFL is king. The NFL is king. What they need to do in college and pro basketball is have the call explained. The call was eventually explained by the PA announcer, but it would be great if the way the referee explains what just happened in his own words, be great if the referee could explain.
Yeah, what they did was, they came over to the TV and gave the TV an explanation. I think if you tell the TV, you should tell the radio too. I mean, they're right there.
Yeah, and tell the fans. Tell the fans at the game.
So what they do is since nobody goes for the basketball, we're going to call it a jump ball. And in college basketball, alternating possession.
Stupid.
Michigan had the arrow going their way. So Michigan, after missing the free throw and the Wildcats getting the rebound that nobody actually picked up, but they still grabbed it, they gave Michigan the ball in a tie game.
At least it wasn't a big game or anything.
With 3 minutes to go in the history of Northwestern season and everything on the line. And it was... And so then after it, they felt so bad about doing it that Northwestern got makeup call after makeup call. And it's like, dude, you're now like impacting the game all over the place. Because you're getting one wrong, and now you're trying to make it right, and you're never going to actually make it right. I wasn't too thrilled.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Thank you for letting me get it off my chest. Do we have another break here, Dan? We do. Okay. After 5 o'clock, Adam Hogue will be with us to talk Bears football.
Bears.
By the way, the Cats won the game. It didn't end up mattering.
It was a great game. And tomorrow, Dave Ennett, Joey Meyer, right back on it. They're going to cover Senior Day starting at 3:05 on Radio 720 WGN.
That's exactly right. All right. Quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Quite frankly, I've only had one formal meeting, and that was just more why with the guy my size, my arm talent, my understanding of football. Why do you go 4-8? And I think I've answered that question as truthfully as I possibly can, and that's simply that I didn't make plays. You know, the ball's in your hands once again as a quarterback every play, and if you're going to go win games in the fourth quarter, then you got to be the guy making the plays.
DeShone Kizer, Notre Damer, could he be a Chicago Bear? We will find out soon enough. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz at 720 WGN. Adam Hoge, this is actually his show, but he... Yes, Harry?
I'm well aware.
Yeah, he was in Indy this week for the Combine as, I guess, guys got down into their stretch pants and whatever they wear and ran really fast and did weird drills and said, I can be a football player in the NFL. Hoge, welcome back home, first of all.
Yeah, hey, guys. It's interesting because they moved the Combine back this year. So it butts up right against the free agent negotiating window, which starts Tuesday. So the defensive backs are going to run their drills Monday. So the NFL is still going to be in Indy, and then it's going to go right into free agency on Tuesday. And that kind of created almost more of this like Major League Baseball GM meetings type feel down there this week. There's a lot more going on than just the NFL draft prospects down there doing their drills. And look, there's always some of that going on because usually the combine's 2 weeks before free agency. There's always some conversations between agents and teams and things like that, but it definitely picked up more this year, I got the sense.
Yeah, so I mean, to your point, Adam, there's not that like kick the tire thing. It's got to be at a frantic pace. You know, you've got to like make your choice right away because other guys are going to jump on it. So of the guys you saw that are coming into the NFL in the coming season, who is like, you know, who are some of the hot guys? Who did so well in the combine that their stock is moving up?
Well, I'll give you a couple names. Now, for one, a guy like Myles Garrett, who could go number one overall, hasn't done his drills yet. So we'll see his testing. I think tomorrow is when he goes. So there's still some of that's going to be pouring in over the next couple of days. But, you know, the big story today is that the wide receiver out of Washington, the Bears might be in need of a wide receiver. John Ross ran a 4.22 40, which breaks the all-time record, which was held by Chris Johnson. So that's, that's really, really fast. And I think his vertical was like a crazy number today too. So, the guy like that, the question has never been about athleticism and how fast he is. He's had a bunch of durability concerns. The guy I love is Zay Jones out of Eastern Carolina, who really was probably the best player or one of the best players down at the Senior Bowl last month in Mobile. And he cemented his spot moving up draft boards with a 4.56 today, I think it was. But it was faster than most people thought he was going to run. So that speed should help him. And that's actually my first Bears mock draft that I did last month. I already had him going to the Bears in the second round. And that was higher than most people thought. But I think he definitely put himself in conversation for the second round, if not late first round at this point.
Adam Hoge with us here on 720 WGN. The news of the day on former Bears is that Alshon Jeffrey, who was not franchised, but is still available, and the Bears could sign him for a deal that they feel comfortable with. Apparently, Jeffrey and the Bears, according to an Ian Rappaport report from NFL.com, the Bears and Jeffrey are talking. Adam, what do you think? What do you know?
Well, and I think he said that the conversations went well today. Here's what I read into that. It could mean two things. It could mean that over the last couple days, once it was made perfectly clear that the franchise tag wasn't going to be used and that Alshon was going to hit the open market, that Tory Dandy, who's Alshon's agent, started sniffing around and talking to teams about, you know, their interest. Now, you got to be careful there because technically you can't do any negotiating. but agents are allowed to at least express their interest to teams. As one agent put it to me this week, we do the talking, they do the listening, right? But you don't really discuss numbers and things like that. So there could be a sense of, okay, maybe the interest isn't as much as we thought. Because let's be honest, this is Alshon's probably, and actually I saw some, I think the NFL Network or somebody I saw on TV this week had him ranked as the number one free agent overall this year. But it's a weak free agent year. And the reality is he's still a guy with question marks, not just in durability and availability and the PED suspension, which all of the things we talked about, but like this guy has not put up huge numbers the last couple of years. He hasn't scored touchdowns. And who's going to give up a ton of money for a guy who's not getting into the end zone? I've had this debate about whether or not he's better than T.Y. Hilton. I think he should be better than T.Y. Hilton given his ability, but the numbers aren't there. So to me, he's kind of a $12 million a year tops type of wide receiver. And I don't know where the Bears are on that number, but I think that they've held pretty close to that number and aren't budging. So, okay, go out the open market, see what you're really worth, and come back to us if you're not worth what you think you're worth. And this whole idea of Alshon not wanting to be in Chicago, I don't buy into that. I think he does want to be in Chicago. I think he's just hoping to get that money up. So if they're kind of already realizing, well, maybe it's not as high as we thought, maybe they're coming back to the Bears, who they're still legally able to negotiate with, and maybe that's why talks got better. Now, here's the other reason why that tweet may have come out today. Well, maybe talks aren't going so well, so they want to make it seem like the Bears are still really, really interested to help drive up the price for other teams. So this is really kind of a – you got to look at every tweet and rumor that comes out very, very carefully. But what I can say with certainty is I think Alshon does want to be in Chicago. That doesn't mean he will be, because ultimately, as Ryan Pace said the other day, it's going to come down to the contract. And I don't get the sense that the Bears are going to budge on their number, at least not by a big margin.
And also, Alshon had a four-game suspension last year, which has to enter into any general manager's head that's thinking about offering him a deal. Adam, you covered this guy when he was here. The Jets let Brandon Marshall go. In a year where, like, the best receivers now are Terrell Pryor and Kenny Stills of the Dolphins, any way with a different head coach that the Bears would consider bringing Brandon Marshall back?
No, because this is still the head coach and general manager that released him, or traded him, I should say. So, they got rid of him for a reason. It's not going to happen. But what I will say, as soon as that news came across the other night down in Indy, I was right away. I'm like, you know, the funny thing is you can make an easy argument right now that the Bears could use Brandon Marshall and Martellus Bennett. Both of them are now available. And that kind of speaks to their inability to quickly replace these guys. I went on a little, not a rant, but like a Twitter thread earlier in the week when it kind of came out that Cutler was probably going to be gone and they weren't using the franchise tag on Alshon. And I said, look, you look at all these moves individually, letting Brandon Marshall go, letting Martellus Bennett go, potentially letting Jay Cutler go, potentially letting Alshon Jeffrey walk, and Matt Forte, let's not forget about him too, who they let go. That was all your offense when Ryan Pace and John Fox got here. That was the offense. Now, granted, they didn't win a lot of games. I would put that more on the defense than the offense. But individually, okay, I understand why they're making all these moves and letting these guys go. Collectively, that's a ton of offense to lose, and they're not replacing it quick enough. So that's a problem. And they, you know, whether it's Alshon or Cutler or other people, they have to be replaced here in the next, if you know, not couple months going up to the draft, but really the next couple weeks here, even with free agency. And it's just, you know what I mean? It's just all starting to add up.
Adam, Mark and I were discussing a little earlier about Colin Kaepernick and hitting the open market. A lot of teams, perhaps due to what he did last year, taking a knee during the national anthem, are not going to have any interest in him. He had 16 touchdowns to only 4 picks. He rushed for 500 yards. are the Bears a team that you'd put in that category because of what happened last year? There's no way that they would entertain the thought of him coming here? Or is that a guy that could maybe end up wearing the C next year?
I'm probably the wrong guy to ask this question just because I personally don't really like him much as a quarterback. So it's kind of hard for me to get over that. I understand the numbers last year. Sort of a gimmicky offense. Certainly an offense that was good for his skill set.
Let me ask it in a different way.
Bears could use a gimmicky offense.
Would his political stance, would what he did last year to get the conversation started about how African-Americans were, you know, falling victims to law enforcement way too often, would that alone keep the Bears from bringing him here?
I don't think so. Certainly the national anthem stuff does it. I mean, you start to get into some of the nitty-gritty, and I was pretty vocal. I liked what he was doing earlier, didn't have a problem with it, but there was definitely some hypocrisy in some of his arguments when it really came down to it. So, but that's, again, I'm getting kind of off sidetrack. In terms of the Bears, I don't think that's going to prevent him from getting another job in the NFL. If he can play football, he's going to get a job. But that's the question. I don't necessarily think he's that great of a quarterback. I think he's good enough to have another job, certainly, to be in a mix for summer with one of these teams that needs a quarterback to bring in, specifically with the Bears. Offensively, I don't think he's a good fit in what Dowell Loggins is trying to do. I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense. And beyond what I think, I haven't heard anything that makes it sound like they're interested in him. So that whole situation would surprise me a lot.
Adam Hogue with us. He was down in Indy this week for the combine. All right, well, what have you heard as far as who are the Bears taking with the number 3 overall pick, Adam?
Well, you know, I wrote this in a notebook that got posted this morning on WGNRadio.com. I think it's actually been clouded up more than cleared up over who the Bears could be zeroing in on for the 3rd overall pick. Couple reasons. One, we found out that Jonathan Allen, the defensive lineman out of Alabama, who's very good, who I like, who I can tell you that my second Bears mock draft coming out Tuesday, I was going to use there, and now I'm not so sure because it gets revealed that he has arthritic shoulders. Well, that's not going to get better. How quickly it gets worse is up for debate. That's what these individual teams are going to figure out with their medical staffs, and that's how this came out this week. The shoulders were examined. Teams yanked at them, tested them, and some teams are probably going to say, "Up, he's good enough where it doesn't matter. We're going to take him." And some teams are going to say, "Nope, we're taking him off our draft board." So that's the big question. My guess is the Bears would probably bring him into Hallis Hall as one of their 30 visits that they're allowed to do a medical recheck on. And they can kind of figure that out. Actually, let me clear that up. That actually happens at the combine in a second trip to Indy the next coming month. But regardless, there's probably going to be medical rechecks done on those shoulders with Jonathan Allen, and teams will have to figure that out to decide whether or not they're going to take him. He's talented enough for the Bears to take a number 3, but the Bears can't miss on this pick. They cannot screw this up. And taking a guy with arthritic shoulders seems way too risky to me, if that makes sense. And then there's the other thing, which came, I don't know how much I believe it, but there seems to be a momentum in a report out of Cleveland this week that the Browns are seriously considering taking Mitch Trubisky number 1. If that's the case, Myles Garrett is one pick away from the Bears then. If he somehow slipped to number 3 and the 49ers passed on him, there's absolutely no way the Bears could pass on Myles Garrett. That's a once-in-a-generation type pass rusher that you could pair with Leonard Floyd and create a pretty scary situation on defense. So all these variables, I haven't really, you know, there's more options to me now when I look at it than there were when I got to Indianapolis on Tuesday.
You know, I would think also that, you know, the arthritic shoulders come into play for a guy whose first round pick has only played 4 games out of a possible 32. right? I mean, that has to affect Ryan Pace before he goes to take a guy that's got this arthritic shoulder condition.
Who are you talking about?
I'm saying because Kevin White has only played in four games.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to he's got to think, you know, twice, three times before he would select a guy with arthritic shoulders. Adam, you know, I know there's nine guys from Clemson there. We saw Deshaun Watson lead Clemson on a national championship winning drive. How, you know, how much do you believe Deshaun Watson, how high will he go in this draft?
I think he'll probably go in the first round. I think a number of these probably at least three, maybe four are going to go in the first round. Right now, Mitch Trubisky from North Carolina is the only one that I think I'll have a first-round grade on. So I think a lot of these guys are going to get pushed up because of need, because of their fear that other teams are going to take them. And, yeah, I think we could say pretty safely right now, we'd be surprised if Trubisky's available when the Bears pick at number 36. We'd be surprised if Deshaun Kizer's available there at number 36 and Deshaun Watson's available when the Bears pick there at 36. So this is the big problem that the Bears have, because number three seems really high for any of these guys. I like the potential that Trubisky has. I like the potential that Kizer has. I love Watson's ability to elevate his teammates around him. I have questions about his pure ability as a quarterback and really the ceiling there with Deshaun Watson, but I still think he's good enough to play in the NFL. Is he worth the number three overall pick? That's the big question that really I'm struggling with every day watching these guys on tape and trying to figure out, and I'm sure the Bears are too. A lot of these teams have to be, because it's really a projection battle. And like I just got done saying, you can't miss with this pick. This is too crucial of a time to be missing on the third overall pick. So if you use it on a quarterback, that guy better be good. And, you know, I'd say right now Trubisky from North Carolina is the only one I'm still considering to take there at that spot.
You can't take a quarterback, I don't think. By the way, you know that if Northwestern wins tomorrow and Wisconsin loses one more game,
Four in a row?
That would be four in a row. And I don't mean to sidestep here, but, you know, it's the end of the interview. If you lose to Minnesota at home tomorrow, Hogue, and the Cats win, Cats will have a higher seed in the Big Ten tournament. Just want to mention that's kind of stunning.
Yeah, I think that's kind of mean of you to bring up, considering what happened on Thursday night and what happened Wednesday night for the Cats, which was incredible.
I mean, I didn't even mention that my alma mater beat you.
Yeah.
At home, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Blowing a 9-point lead with the conference championship online. I called it maybe the most embarrassing Wisconsin loss I've seen. Immediately got attacked on Twitter as people threw out Western Michigan, North Dakota State, a couple other bad losses they've had. I think it's much different losing a game in November to a random, you know, directional school than blowing a 9-point lead to a mediocre 500 Big Ten team on your own court when the conference title is on the line. But that's just me. Regardless, though, that was amazing Wednesday night. I'm glad you're okay, Carm, because it looked
so
dicey there as everyone was running straight towards you guys. You know, and I could hear the fear in Joey Meyer's voice. Are we going to get trampled?
It's the greatest moment of my Cat life, Hogue.
Oh, without a doubt. That was really cool. And tomorrow should be electric against Purdue. And some exposure for the Cats on CBS would be great.
Yep.
Any hoagies?
I'll give you this. And I love that you asked me that question, Harry. I do have hoagies. We didn't mention Jimmy Garoppolo's name once. That report from Adam Schefter came out earlier this week that said the Patriots are not going to trade him. Maybe they're not. Maybe that is a decision they have actually made, and they're not going to move him. I can tell you that other teams don't believe him. If that's that's whether they're talking about believing the report or believing Bill Belichick, whatever, there's still a sense among the NFL that Jimmy Garoppolo is available for the right price. So I still think that opens up the question, would you trade the number three overall pick for Jimmy Garoppolo if you're not going to draft a quarterback with a number three overall pick? And I think it's a fascinating discussion.
Absolutely. Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. Who knows? We will find out. Hey, Adam, appreciate you, brother. Have a great rest of your night, brother.
See you.
Adam Hogue.
Thanks, Adam.
Down at the Combine.
Terrific.
Coming up after 5:30, Harry's got a game, and it could be better than Carm's games, or maybe not. We'll find out. You can win something, a little Lou Malnati's pizza. It's called the Doc Rivers game, 720 WGN. Nothing like a good piece of hair in the middle of the show.
Come on.
I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. Bad mouth placement by me. It's my fault. It's my own issues. But I'll do whatever I can to succeed in life. And sometimes you got to get close to the microphone, Harry. All right.
Make love to the microphone.
That's right. 312-981-7200. Hope you're having a great Saturday. Harry Tynowitz has a game. It's the Doc Rivers game. Winners get Lou Malnati's pizza. That could be you. 312-981-7200. We need five contestants. Five contestants. All lines are clear. You can get in right now. 312-981-7200. You don't necessarily need to know a ton about Doc Rivers, correct, Harry?
Yes, you don't have to know a ton about basketball. We just want people that are fun. We want WGN listeners that enjoy delicious pizza to call up. And you get to, Mark will be involved. Mark is going to be on everyone's team here, so jump in on the Doc Rivers game.
Right. Apparently, my involvement will be something along the lines of phone a friend. Is that right? We're doing, what's that, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire type of thing?
Would you? Here's the way this will work, okay?
Okay, please.
We've got five people. That was quick. Here's the way the Doc Rivers game is played. In honor of the great coach, who, of course, is a Chicago kid. He was an All-American, McDonald's All-American at Proviso East.
Yeah.
Went to Marquette, won the NBA championship coaching the Celtics. Now he's in town tonight. The only time all season Doc Rivers is in his hometown with the Clippers. The Doc Rivers game.
Doc Rivers was a great competitor. Doc Rivers was a great Atlanta Hawk. I used to love watching Michael and company go up against Dominique and Doc. And then, of course, Doc played with the Knicks when the Bulls would battle it out with them in the 90s. Those were phenomenal games. And I always appreciated Doc on the court. And he won an NBA championship with the Boston Celtics. See, I know my Doc Rivers here.
Yes, and that'll be good. Here's the way this will work, okay? You're each going to get three questions. One is about a famous fictional doctor from TV or the movies.
Ooh.
The other is going to be about a famous river.
Ooh.
And the third will involve Doc Rivers himself. You're going to get a question about a doc, a river, and Doc Rivers. You need three questions here to make two. It's three to make two. Get two answers correct and you win. One of your three questions, you can use Mark Carmen as a lifeline only once. So if you're not sure and you don't want to miss it, you could bring Mark in on the first question, or you could maybe save him for that third question about Doc Rivers because he's a basketball aficionado. Again, the Doc Rivers game, a Doc, a river, and a Doc Rivers.
All right. This is an interesting strategy, knowing what I know and knowing what you know. And we'll see what happens here. 312-981-7200. All right, Mike, you get to go first here. Mike,
yeah,
welcome
to... I know what you know, but I don't know what I know, and I trust what you know.
I love you, Mike.
All right, Mike, here's the way this will work. Welcome to The Beat. You're on with Mark and Harry. Three questions again. Two right, you win, and you can use Mark's help once. This is your doc question. When Michael J. Fox needs help in Back to the Future, he goes to this character played by Christopher Lloyd. When Michael J. Fox needs help in Back to the Future, he goes to this character played by Christopher Lloyd.
All right, Mark, I need your help.
You need my help on that, Mike? He goes to Doc.
Doc.
What is? Hang on a second here.
One of the greatest movies in
history. I know, but I always thought he was just called Doc. Doc, I need you.
Think of a color.
Think of a color.
Oh, voice of God helping you
out.
Yeah,
Steve, got your butt there, Mark.
In fact, Mark.
Yeah, David?
Look at your monitor. That should tell you the color.
Doc White?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, okay.
Doc Blue, Doc Green?
Hold on. Carmen's saying white. What do you want to do, Mike? I need a final answer.
Todd White.
Sorry. I believe someone might know the correct answer.
Off to a roaring start
Doc
here.
Doc Brown.
Doc Brown. Dr. Brown is correct. All right.
Why does my monitor look brown, Jennings?
Mike,
who was this?
Two more questions. Nail both of these, and you're a winner. Its mouth is the Mediterranean Sea. It borders the Sudan in Africa. What river am I talking about?
Good luck, Mike. Don't use me.
Its mouth is the Mediterranean Sea. It borders the Sudan in Africa. What river am I talking about?
That's Sudan River.
Good effort, Mike.
Thanks for playing. The Nile ain't just a river in Egypt.
No, I actually did have the Nile. Doc Brown, I can't believe that. That's embarrassing.
Dave Jennings knew.
He did, but he gave a terrible clue. Excuse me.
Really?
Yes, that clue
you
was...
You sure about that?
Yes. How is a monitor brown?
Your monitors are in color, right?
Yeah, but they're not brown.
What Harry, you want to, I'm with you, Dave.
Help Harry, please.
Dave, I'm with you. When I say I'm with you, I mean I'm with you. Well, you want him to say it's the Cleveland football team?
Yes, that would be a good hit.
Wow.
It is my fault. It is my fault. I own 100% of my non-remembering of Doc Brown, but that clue was terrible.
That's not an obscure movie. That's not an obscure movie.
I didn't say it was obscure. It's the least obscure movie of all time. I love Back to the Future.
Next contest.
Apparently not enough. All right, next guy. I'm sorry. Good effort, Mike. Larry, welcome to 720 WGN. Do better than Mike, Larry.
I'll try.
All right, Larry, this is your chance to win the Doc Rivers game. Three questions, a Doc, a River, and a Doc Rivers.
One of the great games of all time.
Get two out of three and you win. You can use Mark Kerman once. Here you go. Here's your Doc question.
Or not.
This psychiatrist moved from the East Coast to the West Coast when he moved his practice from Cheers in Boston to Seattle.
Wow.
What doc am I talking about? This psychiatrist moved his practice from the East Coast to the West Coast. He moved his practice from Cheers in Boston to Seattle. What doctor am I talking about?
That was Fraser.
You got a last name?
Fraser, Dr. Crane.
You are correct. All right, you got one down, and you still haven't used Mark. Okay, here's your river question. Its mouth is the Atlantic Ocean. It is the longest river in the world. It is located on the northeast coast of Brazil in South America. Okay? Its mouth is the Atlantic Ocean. It is the longest river in the world in terms of its volume of flow, its area, its basin. Have you got it?
I don't. Give me a second. I'm not.
Give you a second.
I'm driving.
You're driving.
Come on.
What are you going to pull the phone out?
I need an answer. You can go to Mark or you can.
The Amazon River.
That phone works pretty quickly. You are correct. It is the Amazon.
Larry, did you cheat? Out yourself if you did right now.
Honestly, no. I'm driving on the Edens. Absolutely not.
Okay. All right. I trust Larry.
How is the Edens heading north, by the way?
It's very light. I'm just passing Dempster.
Oh, that's off. Pull off. So many good food choices
get
there.
Off. Kaufman's Deli would be my pick right now, although I think it's closed Saturday. Not going to work.
Oh, yeah. Grecian
Kitchen.
Do I get
the third question as a bonus?
Just for you-know-whats and giggles, you can get the third question. His jersey hangs in Allen Fieldhouse. He was the MVP of the finals in 2008 when Doc won his NBA title. Okay? The truth is, he'll be playing for Doc tonight. Who am I talking about?
You know what? I don't know. I stopped being an NBA fan in the late 90s. All right, Mark, it doesn't matter, but I'll use you.
His name is Paul Pierce, Larry.
Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
The great Kansas Jayhawk, the greatest college basketball school in the world.
By the way, what color is the monitor? Larry, hang on.
Hold on, Larry. Congratulations. You've won Lou Malnati's.
First winner in the history of the Doc Rivers game. Is this game better than is Harry's games better than my games? 312-981-7200. Please text that in. We don't have room for you on the call line right now. But if you can just text in Harry or Carm's games, Harry equals Harry, equals Carm.
Mark, why can't we just, both be pretty?
I'm all about competition, Harry. It's all about, games.
Mark?
Yes, Harry?
People like you.
Thank you.
You don't have to be better than everybody.
I understand that. But, when we get to games, it's competition. Who's got the better game?
That's what made Walter Payton great. That's what made Michael Jordan great.
That's right. I'm on their level.
Meanwhile, Dan Long, executive producer, and I are just shaking our heads.
John, welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead, John. You're up in the Doc Rivers game. Second to last contestant.
John, we can do two more after him. John, you ready to play the Doc Rivers game?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, John, he is the remember, it's three to make two, and you can use Mark once. The Doc question. He is the arch nemesis of Austin Powers. He is the arch nemesis of Austin Powers.
I have no idea.
You want to use Mark, or do you want to just take a loss there?
let's take a loss on that one.
Wow, John, no confidence in Carm at all.
Wow.
Little hurt.
Carm, did you have it?
Nope, didn't have it. Great move by you, John.
Wow, we were looking at Dave, you knew this, right?
Oh, no.
The Dr. Evil. Dr. Evil was trying to kill Austin Powers.
Austin Powers, most overrated movie of all
right,
time.
We go. Jeez, the first one wasn't. All right, here we go. This is your river question. Its mouth is in the North Sea, okay? It is the North Sea. It flows from the Swiss Alps and drains to the Netherlands, passing Austria, Germany, Liechtenstein, and France along the way. Its mouth is the North Sea. It flows from the Swiss Alps, drains to the Netherlands, passing Austria, Germany, Liechtenstein, and France along the way. What river am I talking about, John?
I'll take a lifeline.
All right, Mark.
You're going lifeline, huh?
This is where you come in.
Okay, I'm coming strong.
Yes.
The Swiss Alps River. Great river, the Swiss Alps River.
You heard the last country I mentioned, right?
The Netherlands?
Okay, no. France. Okay, I need a final answer, John. You get a river?
Yes, go ahead.
Its mouth is the North Sea. It flows from the Swiss Alps, drains to the Netherlands, passing Austria, Germany, Liechtenstein, and France along the way. Mark, of course, gave you the world-famous Swiss Alps River. Want to use that or one of your own?
I didn't hear that question.
Well, you heard it three times, actually. John, thanks for playing.
John, good effort.
We have no parting gifts.
Good effort. You know what that river would be there, Harry?
Now that you think about it?
Now that I Google it? No, I still don't know. Still not really popular.
It would be the Rhine.
Oh, yeah, the Rhine. Of course. I knew that. I just didn't want to show off. Let's get Ron in here. Ron, one more chance. Actually, we have Ron and Ed. Hang on. We'll do two more.
All right, Ron. Hello. Ron, good luck to you. Doc Rivers game. Here's your doctor. He joined Wyatt Earp and his brothers in the battle at the OK Corral.
Wow.
This doc joined Wyatt Earp and his brothers in the battle at the OK Corral.
Oh, my God. I'm spacing on this. I've seen that movie so many times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's like three of them. There's Tombstone. There's Wyatt Earp itself.
Wyatt Earp.
There's Battle of the OK Corral.
Oh, man. I'm spacing on this totally.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark.
You're coming to me?
Yeah.
Have you been paying attention to this game, Ron?
Yes, I have.
Mark, we need a doc. We need a doc who fought alongside of the Earp brothers in the battle at the OK Corral.
I actually think I can pull this one out there for you, Ron. Doc Holliday.
Carm is giving you Doc Holliday. You want to use that or one of your own?
Yes, that's it.
Doc Holliday is correct.
Look at that, Ron. We're moving, Ron.
All right, good luck to you. Here's your river question. Its mouth is the Gulf of Mexico. It goes from New Orleans to St. Paul, running past Memphis, Baton Rouge, St. Louis, and Minneapolis along the way. Its mouth is the Gulf of Mexico, and then this river goes from New Orleans to St. Paul, running past Memphis, Baton Rouge, St. Louis, and Minneapolis along the way. What river are we talking about?
I have to say that's the Mississippi.
Can you spell Mississippi?
M-I-S-S-I, and then the rest of it.
You are correct. It is the Mississippi River. Congratulations.
Come on, Ron. M-I, crooked letter I, crooked letter I, humpback, humpback I. Ron.
It's pee-pee. Hey.
There we go.
Yeah.
You've won delicious Lou Malnati's pizza. Hold on.
We love it.
Dan Long will take your information.
Dan Long wants to tell you about Lou Malnati's pizza, too. It's one of his favorite things to do on the program. Don't you, Dan?
I can't stop talking about Lou's, the Chicago's best deep dish pizza, 40-plus Chicagoland locations, and you can order online at loumalnati.com.
Damn
straight. In fact, it's so good that Dan and I asked for it when we exchanged emails earlier in the week. Sausage, mushroom, and onion, Lou Mal's deep dish would be so good right about now. What a great way to celebrate your Saturday night.
I was supposed to bring that in, but it didn't happen. But I love you. Let's get Ed in here. Last one, Ed. The Doc Rivers game. Whose games are better, Carm's or Harry's? I vote Carm, but this is a great game. Go ahead,
Mark,
Harry.
Mark, just know that whatever people say on the text line, that you're a wonderful person. And eventually, one of these girls that you go out with is going to see that.
I could read you some doozies today. Carm, because he doesn't tell me the rules every 20 seconds. There you go.
You're absolutely right.
6-3-0's for with you, Harry.
By the way,
6-3-0's saying, totally agree with Carm. Austin Powers not only sucks, but the marketing towards children was obscene, Harry.
All right. Here you go. Ed, good luck to you.
Ed.
When we used to trust the meds, Bill Cosby would give someone. He was playing this famed TV doctor every Thursday night on NBC.
Dr. Heathcliff Huxtable.
Look at that. I love the confidence, Ed.
Ed.
One for one, dude. All right. Here's your river
play. By the way, my name's Matt. I just figured I should tell you.
Oh, thank you. Well, you could see where Matt would turn into Ed, right?
A lot of calls going on here.
He's doing a lot. He should have an assistant in there. He should have another producer.
Matt lied and said he was Ed, and now he's going with Matt to try to get Dan Long in trouble, which, by the way, you could never get Dan Long in trouble because Dan Long's just too good at his job. All right, Matt.
From the Rivers category, her mouth never stopped moving. This New York comedian and her daughter hosted the Fashion Police on the E! Network. The Brooklyn native died from surgical complications in 2014.
Joan Rivers.
Final answer?
Yes.
Joan Rivers is correct.
Way to go, Ed / Matt.
You've won Lou Mal's on the Doc Rivers game.
Good job, Matt.
Thank you, gentlemen. And Carm, I love you. Harry, both your games are great.
Thank you. Girls, you're both beautiful.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Matt just hung up. He didn't even want his pizza.
Well, it's just about pride.
He just came for victory, man.
I'll give it to Ed instead.
Do you want the, I shouldn't say the rules. But the audience is always changing.
I want to know his sports question. What was his sports question?
Doc Rivers questions?
Yeah.
All right. These would be the Doc Rivers questions. He played his senior year of high school at Farragut. Buzz in when you know the answer.
Uh-huh.
Became the first player drafted from high school straight to the NBA.
KG.
Kevin Garnett is correct. The point guard on Doc's 2008 NBA champs.
Rajon Rondo.
Rajon Rondo is correct.
Yeah.
He is the NBA's all-time leader in three-pointers made. He reminds you of Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Ray Allen.
And finally, Doc is a great coach now. But when Doc was playing from 1984 1984
Riley.
To 1990.
Oh, 1984 to 90, Mike Fratello.
Mike Fratello was Doc's coach. And that, my friends, is the Doc Rivers game.
Great game. All right, Harry, congratulations.
Congrats to you.
Why is there... Oh, okay, we've got a guest coming up here right after 6 o'clock around Northwestern. Kathy and Jackie are going to talk to us about a really cool thing that they're doing coming up right after 6 o'clock on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. So we've got two beautiful women on the line, Jackie and Catherine. They're the marketing and media co-chairs for the Northwestern University Dance Marathon, which is going to help raise money for Down Syndrome, Gigi's Playhouse, and Gigi's Playhouse, which is an organization devoted to helping children with Down Syndrome. Kathy and Jackie, thank you so much for jumping on with us. How are you?
We're great. How are you?
Tell us about this dance marathon, because my co-host here, Harry Tynowitz, he's a great dancer and he wants to be a part of it.
I love to dance.
Well, right now we're currently in hour 22 of the 30-hour dance marathon. Where over 1,000 undergraduate students are dancing to raise funds and awareness for our primary and secondary beneficiaries, Gigi's Playhouse and Evanston Community Foundation.
Wow. So you're how can you contribute 22 and 30 hours? They need people to come over and do some cheering, some supporting, because people that support, they don't get enough credit in these events.
That's true. We have a bunch of visitors, actually. Our student center is pretty packed right now with other people coming to support and cheer on people. In about 10 minutes, we have the most exciting song of the marathon coming on to really get people going. So the energy is really high and everything's going really great.
Can you...
if you still want to make a contribution, you can help out by visiting fundraise.nudm.org, and you can donate there and watch our live stream if you want to join in the fun from home.
Wait, say that again a little bit slower. Where can you donate?
At nudm.org. You can watch the live stream and you can donate.
nudm.org.
What is the most exciting song?
It's actually called Sandstorm, and for some reason it just really gets the whole tent really hyped. It's this electronic techno song, and the whole tent just becomes this huge mosh pit, and everyone's jumping, and the energy is just great.
Even after 22 hours, you still have all that energy.
Yes, it's truly unbelievable.
Here it is.
That's the one.
You can feel it, baby. So tell us why this was on your guys' heart, why you got involved.
We've both been involved since our freshman year. We got involved as dancers, and we just absolutely fell in love with the philanthropy. It's just really cool that Northwestern's campus can really come together in support of an amazing cause, a different one each year. And it's truly just like any other thing I've ever experienced.
Yeah, and then what's really awesome is that it's one of the only things on campus that kind of brings all the different corners of our campus together into one tent in one place for one cause all at the same time. And it really is just something so special.
Kevy and Jackie, awesome stuff. Congratulations on raising money for something extremely important. And thanks for jumping on WGN to let people know what's going on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having us.
It's most definitely our pleasure. Very cool. The website one more time, nudm.com.
NUDM.org.
NUDM.org. You can watch some people dancing to that wild song right there, which makes me want to be 22 again.
There is a lot going on at Northwestern this weekend.
There is. Thanks, Kathy. Thanks, Jackie.
Kathy and Jackie, love your show. Listen every Saturday.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
Blackhawks hockey coming up at the bottom of the hour. The Blackhawks and Nashville. Judd Surratt with your pregame show. John and Troy, of course, along as well. Puck drop right after 7 o'clock right here on 720 WGN. Hawks going for their 7th win in a row.
Pretty awesome. Great game last night. I mean, they were shut out through 58 minutes and 46 seconds. And then, Artemi Panarin found the net. They go into overtime, thrilling overtime, and in the shootout, they eventually would win. Taser scored, and then Panarin won the game.
Also going on tonight, your Chicago Bulls, who have been playing shockingly better basketball, are hosting the Doc Rivers-led L.A. Clippers. So you got a little Blake Griffin, a little Chris Paul, a little Paul Pierce for the final time at the United Center.
The truth.
Yeah. So... all that's going on. And earlier today, Harry, down in Mesa, the Chicago Cubs beat the favorite in the National League.
Dodgers?
9-3. Chris Bryant with a fourth-inning grand slam. Jaime Candelario, one of the Cubs prospects that we don't hear about too often. 3 at-bats, a triple, a double, and a single. Played some first base today.
Good old number 7.
There you go. And what I like, Harry, my guy, the most important guy on the Cubs.
Most important guy on the Cubs.
Yes.
Wilson Contreras.
No.
Addison Russell.
No.
Anthony Rizzo.
No.
Forgive my ignorance. How could I? Javier Baez.
No. Kyle Hendricks.
Kyle Hendricks.
We need a young starter to be solid and to be able to step in with the Jake Arrieta's potentially moving along, with John Lester getting older.
It's interesting that a guy that plays every 5 days is the most important guy on the team to you.
Well, there's a lot of depth on this roster now.
Yes.
So we don't have as much depth pitching-wise.
No, they're trying.
Yeah.
They have depth. They just don't have the quality depth
right.
They want.
I mean, I really think they need Kyle Hendricks. It was his first outing of the spring today. He went 2 innings, faced the minimum 6 batters. He struck out 1, and He allowed a single, but then he got a 6-3 double play. How many pitches did it take Kyle Hendricks to get through two innings?
I'm going to say it took him 11 pitches.
That would have been super aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
It took him 16 pitches.
16 pitches is awesome.
Right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Eight per. So, I just feel very comfortable on the start of the spring.
And you should
Of the great Kyle Hendricks.
And you should be. And the White Sox made a bit of a surprising move in saying goodbye to Brett Lowry.
Yeah, that's odd. White Sox signed Brett Lowry for $3.5 million, which isn't a ton of money in baseball terms nowadays. Ton of money to me, you, and everybody else in the world, but not a lot of money in baseball. And then just decided to cut him because they want to give young guys a chance to play, I guess.
Is it because he's Canadian?
I don't think it's that. They wouldn't have given him the money originally.
Right.
I don't think it was Canadian bias. Brett Lowry, he's most famous for the mouth guard. Great mouth guard.
Intense.
Yeah. And the big news that you wanted to talk about around the Cubs, Harry, is David Ross doing Dancing with the Stars.
They announced who's going to be on Dancing with the Stars, and Mr. T will be on Dancing with the Stars this season. He, of course, is a Chicago guy, but not the most important Chicago guy. David Ross, break it down for me, Carm. How do you expect good old number three, now a member of the Cubs front office, how do you expect David Ross to do on DWTS?
Well, I think it's one of the more amazing stories in sports / Dancing with the Stars history. Because who else have they had? T.O.'s been on there.
Oh, they've had a lot of football players.
A ton of football players. But
Calvin Johnson was just on last year.
Right, but never a baseball player. So if you were going to say the first ever baseball player on Dancing with the Stars, I'd expect to hear the name Derek Jeter. I'd expect to hear the name
A-Rod.
Sure, Mariano Rivera, Mike Trout, or something like that.
Right. Because of the timing, it would have to be a retired player.
Sure, sure. But the first ever baseball player on Dancing with the Stars is the backup catcher on the Chicago Cubs World Series team, and David Ross. That speaks to something, Harry.
It does speak volumes.
Doesn't it? Okay. Well, congratulations to David Ross. And I think the Cubs are going to miss him on the field this year. Well, hopefully they... They'll miss him, but it'll be a both end. They'll miss and they'll still win. He'll be one of the great, great historic figures in Cubs history with the home run in Game 7 and everything else he did. Taxi driver Bob, you want to comment on Harry's game?
I got two questions one question for each one of you. And you went on a free taxi ride with taxi driver Bob. Anywhere in Highland Park.
What if I want to go to Highland Park?
So from
that's right.
From Michael's to Once Upon a Bagel, all in one shift. I love you, taxi driver. What's the question?
Okay. Carm, this one's to you.
Okay.
Did you hear about the fact that Tynowitz is going to be on with Dancing with the Stars? He's going to be the dancing partner with Charo.
Is that right?
Did you hear that?
I didn't hear that, taxi driver.
You're going to do a little coochie-coochie with Charo, aren't you, Tiny?
Yes. Wow. Nice reference. You know, if I were on the show, it would be Dancing with the Stars of David.
Did you see how old she is? I thought she was a lot older than what she was. Because when I remember when, you know, like her, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, 15 minutes of fame or whatever, she seemed kind of like an older...
Yeah, I would have guessed Charo right now to be about 76?
No, she's in her mid-60s.
That's
like
shocking.
65 or 60. Yeah, exactly. When I gave Carm the breaking news on Rossi being with Dancing with the Stars the other night on Patty's show, I Googled it just to find out how old she was, because I figured if she's in her mid 70s, how is she going to be on Dancing with the Stars? She's going to fall over on her walker or something, you know. But she's not that old.
Can't have that.
But anyways, also Harry, how long did it take you to prepare for that Doc Rivers thing? Was that a whole week preparation for that?
No. Sadly, I had a little time on my hands, and the only thing I had to look up were the Rivers, because TV, movies, sports, I got pockets full of that. I just didn't have like river knowledge, and I didn't want to just say, that river, in South America that you can like order stuff from. You know,
yeah. Well, I got the Rhine River. All the other ones were
a bit difficult, but my German background came in handy with the Rhine River.
Good job, taxi driver.
All the other ones.
Yeah.
Anyways, you guys got the great show over there, and keep it up, and have a good rest of the weekend.
Back at you, taxi driver. Love your show.
All right, take care.
Thanks for calling, TD Bob.
All right, take care. Don't. It's just not funny, Carmen. Just move along. All right, hey Jim, welcome to 720 WGN. You want to talk John Lester? You talk. I love when people just randomly call in.
No, is John Lester going to have to take Mondays off so he can sit in the front row and watch his buddy?
That's. I like that. That's good.
Maybe
you know they're best friends forever.
Maybe Joe Maddon can. Factor that into it. He's making him the opening day starter. You know, Jim, that was news this week. And opening day does come on a Monday, and it's a night game. This could be an issue.
Well, opening day is Sunday.
Sunday. Opening that's right. Day that's right. Sunday. That's my bad. Sunday night. That's correct. Take it back.
So his Monday will be wide open to go take a trip and see his buddy.
Right. You know, if Lester were dancing, I would say he could only dance with Ross there. In fact, Ross might have to be his partner. But Ross, you know, I don't know if he is as dependent upon having John Lester there. And like, you know, if John Lester were, you know, dancing the tango, he would like be a great dancer. But then he'd go to throw the rose, you know, 6 feet, and he would throw it like 30 feet in the wrong direction.
Yep. Well, I was just wondering. I think you know Sandy Koufax would take the Sabbath off. Why can't Ross take Mondays off to see his? Lester take Mondays off.
If Sandy Koufax were on Dancing with the Stars, he would do the horror.
Jim, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
That was a very odd line to be drawn from Sandy Koufax to David Ross in Dancing with the Stars. Can I? Yes.
Yeah, before we get out of here, and I know we're getting out of here early for Blackhawk hockey.
I got something I got to get off my chest too.
Go ahead.
No, you first.
The other night against the Warriors, 16, Paul Zipser hit the big three. And you tweeted about him, like, months ago.
Look at Harry just teeing me up. It's very rare, if you listen to this program, that I get something right. But it happened. I said when the Bulls drafted Paul Zipser, or picked up Paul Zipser, whatever it was, I can't even remember now. I went YouTube, which is what you should do in these situations, and I checked out Paul Zipser. And Paul Zipser to me on YouTube was, I'm like, this dude looks like he can play. And now Fred Hoiberg, basically they ended up almost getting rid of Doug McDermott partly because of Paul Zipser. He's using Zipser down the stretch. He's into Paul Zipser. Zipser is becoming a thing.
Yeah, I was watching McDermott and Taj after the Bulls. Did you watch any of that?
I saw some of last night. They were on late night.
Was it last night or Thursday? Yeah, I watched when they lost to Portland.
That was last night.
Okay, last night.
Yeah.
I don't know what day it is, Mark.
It's okay, Harry. Okay, let me just get this off my chest. I think Taj is going to do well in Oklahoma City for sure, and I think it's a great situation for Doug McDermott. You get to play with Russell Westbrook and have that guy getting you shots. If it ain't going to work there, it's not going to work anywhere, and Doug had a good game the other night. All right. By the way, you're being called Tippy Toes Tynowitz on the text line, so congratulations on that. So, here we go. It's, what's the date today, Dan? March the 4th. Okay. That means opening day is less than a month away. And I understand we got a lot of time, and we haven't played a lot of games. But 15 at-bats in, Jason Hayward.
Oh, boy.
On the spring is 0 for 15. So I think we should officially have on the beat and 720 WGN the hashtag Hayward Watch for when he actually gets his first spring training hit. 0 for 15, Harry. You're not going to go there with me?
No, I am. My first thought was terrible. I mean, the late Craig Ironhead Hayward has as many spring training hits as Jason Hayward does.
I mean, you have as many hits as Jason Hayward does.
Right.
Another day in the leadoff spot for Jason Hayward.
Ooh.
Struck out, popped out, drew a bases-loaded walk.
That's an RBI.
Bases-loaded walk for Hayward today in three trips played. He's 0 for 15 with three walks and four strikeouts. Apparently him and Joe Maddon, according to Gordon Whitmire, continuing to express optimism in his new approach since a season-long slump last year.
Hey, hashtag Hayward Watch.
Hashtag Ben Zobrist in right, John J.R. Albert Almora in center, and Kyle Schwarber in left, and Javi Baez at second.
Well, Javi Baez should play every day. I'll start there. Javi Baez should play every day. Yeah, Hayward. I don't know what happened. I mean, he's got a great arm. He's got a cannon. He covers a lot of ground in right, but he's got a hit. I mean,
just a little.
That's very bad.
I was having an argument or a discussion, I should say, with one of my diehard Cub fans yesterday, and he's like, "Batting average doesn't matter. Batting average doesn't matter. As long as he has an 800 OPS, that's all that matters." I don't want to be the old school moron in the room.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sorry. I don't care what all the new age are saying. Batting average, it's not the only category, but it does matter. And I am curious who you could just a little informal because we don't have time to take calls here. 312-981-7200. That's the text line. Will Jason Hayward hit over 225 this year? Will he hit over 225?
Come on.
I did 240 yesterday on Twitter. It was split. I'm going down to 225.
What does he weigh?
What does Jason Hayward weigh?
Will he hit his weight?
Okay, let's do that. Let's hear from Jason Hayward.
He's in shape. And remember, nobody delivers a
240 pounds.
Okay, so will he hit his weight?
Will Hayward hit his weight? And I like Jason Hayward. He's a great guy. He's very professional. I wish him well. I hope he has a great year.
There's another hashtag for you.
I don't like his new batting stance. I don't like the way he's holding the bat. It doesn't look natural and normal to me. This whole offseason was about finding the form. And it just, I don't know. I don't see it. We need a better hitting coach. We need a something. This is not the answer. He's like the holding the bat, and it's like super erect, and then he moves it into another position, the whole thing's confusing. I've never seen anybody hit like that, except for Sammy when he was rolling, but it doesn't look like Sammy. All right, Blackhawks hockey's coming up, 720 WGN.